Hi, and welcome to RevOps Unboxed, the podcast that dives into the world of revenue operations, brought to you by me, Sandy Robinson, in partnership with Revenue Operations Alliance.
On this episode of RevOps Unboxed, I speak with Emily Garza, Senior Director of Revenue Operations at Nimbus. Today, we will discuss some of the challenges of running a RevOps organization and the importance of collaborating on compensation plans. This is a topic near and dear to every RevOps leader's heart. Let's get started. I'm your host, Sandy Robinson. I'm here with Emily Garza, who is the Senior Director of Revenue Operations at Nimbus. Welcome to the show, Emily. Thanks for coming.
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, so tell me a little bit. We've worked together a long time. So three companies we've worked together. And but tell everybody a little bit about your background and what you do.
Sure. I've worked not kind of always in kind of a RevOps role, even before RevOps existed really as a term. I started as a business analyst at an insurance company, and that kind of morphed into, you know, helping the sales team more along the way. And then it just continued on. I've always either supported sales teams, customer success teams, everything in between, all of the above. And so I'll say it's never boring.
Yeah, you kind of become an expert in pretty much everything, kind of the go-to, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, again, every day in RevOps kind of is different, and you're just always juggling priorities and like figuring out what the most urgent need is to help solve, improve, build out tools, et cetera.
Well, so we worked together at Nimbus, and so now you're the Senior Director of Revenue Operations and Analytics. So congratulations on your promotion. So what types of things are you working on just in terms of your responsibilities as a RevOps leader?
It's a lot. I manage all the tech stack tools for the sales team, and I help implement new tools. We're currently in the process of setting up a CLM for all of our legal documentations and like integrating that to Salesforce to hopefully improve our contracting process, which is very intensive since we're our customers or potential customers are financial institutions. So our contracts could be anywhere between 17 and 30 pages long.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a lot of fun, right? So you're having to deal with lots of different folks on both sides of the equation, right? On the customer side, and then also internally as you're trying to work through a project like a CLM. I remember we started that a while back. So how's that? It sounds like everybody's kind of coming together and working together to get things in place.
We're still in implementation phase, so we haven't finished rolling it out. Right, the biggest challenge is, since our contracts can be so long, is trying to like break them apart as much as possible to automate, which they will never be 100% automated just because they vary so much from prospect to prospect, but to like get as much automated as possible. So it's been and trying to like translate what, legal and the sales team thinks as what the needs are to like, okay, you need to like, break the contract into all these different pieces. So you can like say what drives actually building the contract and getting them to understand what I'm even trying to ask them for.
I mean, that's a lot. I mean, but this is something critical. I think the relationship with the legal team. And I think a lot of RevOps leaders, I don't know if they miss it, but getting to know your folks in the legal team and having that cohesive relationship, because when you think about the customer journey, it's so critical, that contracting process and negotiations is so critical, particularly in a larger enterprise sale where they become more complicated and you're dealing with redlining. And the last thing you want to do is go into three different tools and a bunch of emails back and forth to deal with it, right?
Yeah, it's definitely, and because right now, because we're not done implementing, we have Monday has a legal has a Monday intake form to like for new requests coming in. Of course, all the contracts are just, you know, Word documents and going back and forth via email. And so everybody is always like, okay, what's the most current version? And it's like, it's either sitting on someone's, you know, computer or like buried in someone's email. And so having like a true system where you can actually see the latest version. And
I know that.
And that's even prior to like sending it out to the customer. So that's just like their, you know, internal redlining to make sure you have the right pieces in the contract. Then you're not even sending it to the customer yet.
Yeah. The 27 versions that you had internally before it even went to the customer.
Right. And of course, after it goes to the customer, is another whole set of redlining and negotiation. So.
Yeah. I mean, and this I think is a critical function of revenue operations, particularly when you are getting into that more complex enterprise sales and everything like that. And this, you know, getting into a CLM and tech evaluation is a far cry from your early start in, you know, being an analyst. So, I mean, when you first got into what I'm kind of calling RevOps or in the analyst world, what was that like? Did you kind of fall into it?
Definitely. Like when I was just the analyst, I was like given like specific projects, or I would even like, okay, this particular process and operations is not working well, go sit with them and figure out how to make it better. So I did, you know, have to interact with, you know, teams and everything to like try to help problem solve things. So that component, which is still a big component of RevOps, was there, but I was like given, you know, specific things and not like gotten free rein to say, you know, look anywhere within the customer sales cycle and figure out, you know, where the company is struggling. And and I never, early on in my career, never like got into any, you know, system evaluation or or try to figure out, you know, which tools are the best. And of course, that's another entirely different skill set that, you know, you're like evaluate, again, you have to get requirements of what each team wants out of a tool, and then, you know, start lots of demos and questions and everything. And then most of the time with any systems that target a certain area, the core functionality, you know, unless they're horrible, which you eliminate them very quickly, is all very similar. So it's like, then you like have to like differentiate, okay, this tool does this well, but not this well, which is more, and then going back to the team and saying, okay, which thing is more important? Because you're never going to get, or rarely you get, the golden unicorn that does everything you want exactly as you want. So you have to like decide as a team, you know, the pros and cons of what you're really trying to solve.
Yeah, what the trade-offs are and what the core business problem is. And I know you find that people's emotions get involved, right? Because people have certain preferences towards a tool, like, you know, I like Starbucks and I like Dunkin', and this is kind of what you deal with when you're going through.
Yeah, and that, and then you also have to take consideration when you're doing the demos and everything, that's the vendor's salespeople, you know, pitching you. And so, of course, they're selling the tool to you. So I was like, are they truly giving you all the information? I found with every tool that we've implemented, there's been something that was told to me by a salesperson that's, you know, not 100% correct. It's probably 75% correct, but it's either more complicated to set up or there's some, you know, gotcha somewhere.
Right.
But you don't find out until, you know, 6 months later.
Yeah. And that's always fun, right? And then you're kind of diving in more and spending more time on development and things like that. You know, this is the time of year when everybody is thinking about, or they should be. If you're not, then you really should be thinking about comp plans. And I know that's something that you're responsible for, is creating the commissions plans. What advice or what types of things are you working on in terms of sales compensation?
Oh, yes, I do administer the compensation plan. Of course, right now it's like just the monthly, we're on a monthly commission cycle. So it's just a monthly administration of making sure the commissions are paid and sent out correctly. But then, of course, in the fall, typically you start working on changes to the plan for the following fiscal year. And it's always like you have to like analyze what's working. Is this really truly motivating the sales reps? Because again, the whole reason for compensation is to like drive sales. And so you have to make sure that your particular compensation plan actually motivates and is enthusiastically received by the reps, and they see that their effort is really going to like pay off in a good compensation. Every year you're the slight changes to like what you're trying to target and everything. So you kind of like have to shift to like, okay, how can we improve it to like do what we want to meet our plan for the next year? Cause you know, from a sales management and, you know, CRO, and it's like really all this is to like, you know, you have your plan. Of course, fall is typically when you do plan evaluations for the following year. So they kind of go hand in hand. The whole the compensation plan is to support achieving your financial plan for the following year. And so, you know, quotas and everything are really tied to the financial plan for the following year.
Yeah, the balance is hard too, right?
Right. Because... So you have to get feedback from the CFO, because they, you know, they're heavily involved in creating the plan. And then from the sales leadership, you have to like, obviously, typically, if the reps make their plan, of course, that also, you know, rolls up to the managers and leaders of the sales team to also get compensated. Right. So it's challenging to like weigh the balance of the sales leaders kind of like want to incentivize their team, but they also are incentivizing themselves.
Right.
So you have to like have the balance of conflicting goals.
Right. Yeah. The voice of reason, like the should we do this right. type of thing.
And then totally selfishly, as the person administering the plan, I always have the voice of, okay, it's nice that you want to measure that, but we don't really have a good way to measure that. So if that's going to be the thing, we have to figure out how we're actually going to measure that particular metric in the compensation plan.
Yeah, definitely. Identifying the data sources is critical. So if you want to measure revenue that you're actually booking, then how are you going to be able to do that? How do you tie it to the opportunity and all those different things? You have to establish that up front. I think a lot of times sales leaders have this pie in the sky idea, and then they come
to us. Yes, they have that conceptual concept of what they want to, you know, incentivize, but then you have to like, okay, well, how's that tie back to actual data in the system that you can say, yes, this is particularly thing was achieved and we should pay compensation for that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you said something before about tying it to the financial goals and everything like that. And I think that's something as a RevOps leader, just totally remembering that you have, we're here to drive revenue, right? Sales leaders are there to make the plan. We want to make it motivating, want to make it fun, but we have to, you know, keep it aligned and have everything roll up and, you know, focus on the right areas or solving problems.
Because it's always a fun conversation at the end of the year when the company didn't hit their plan numbers, but then the CFO sees that some reps got very heavily incentivized and got a lot of commission for the year. So like, oh, yeah, like the team as a whole didn't hit their goals, but this, you know, there'll be like one particular person or a couple of people that, again, it's all based on territories. And so there's lots of things that go into it, but it's fun conversations to like, okay, how do we pay this person so much commission if we're like totally missed our mark
as a company? How do you suggest for people to plan for that in terms of when you're assigning the plans? Because obviously it's linked to their quotas, right? So when you're building out the quotas for people and assigning them out, you mentioned a roll up and alignment, but what's a good strategy? How do you suggest approaching that for folks that are trying to set this up?
There's a lot of different components in it because, you know, typically most cases that I've seen in sales organizations, the teams are divided up in some kind of territory. So geographical, or sometimes it's, you know, specific segments of the target market. And so you have to balance of like, okay, how do the quotas get spread out amongst the team that they can actually achieve or get close to achieving. So it's motivating, along with, you know, how's it going to tie up to that overall, you know, plan for the whole team. And so it's like trying to make it fair and be achievable is always a struggle, because it's like sometimes territories aren't balanced completely. And so it's like some teams, it will see that, like, they feel like somebody's getting
unfair.
If it's geographical and, you know, it's not balanced for what your target market is, then there's a feeling like, so and so has, you know, 1,000, you know, potential prospects where I only have 500.
Right.
And so you have to, like, if that's the case, you have to kind of like counterbalance that with like having lower quotas potentially, or to like to balance that out. Yeah. But then when there's an inevitability, territory shifts through the year with new people coming in and people leaving, there's always come to the point where, you know, in the mid-year, they'll want to like totally change territories.
Yes, I know that well. I'm doing that right now.
So they're trying to retrofit, you know, what your quotas need to be changed, or how to make it, to keep it fair. Because you generally go in the beginning of the year where it is fair and balanced, mm-hmm. and everything, because you have like a known set of, you know, variables. But then everything changed, you know, mid-year for multiple reasons. It could be territory changes. It could be, you know, this one particular product's not working well. We don't want to sell that as much. So then you have to adjust. If it's your compensation is product driven, then it's like, how do you deal with that? So it's like, again, it varies by, you know, what your actual compensation plan is made up of, but there's always something that changes mid-year that you have to kind of adjust for.
And then you figure out really quickly, like, I should have set up the database better, right? So setting up your territory segmentation, all the different, you know, which account is aligned to which state, to which person. And so when they are wanting to change these things, you have that ready to go, right? So it is, you know.
Yes, because you when there's changes, you want to be able to react to them very quickly, so there's not a lag. And,
yeah.
When possible. I mean, sometimes, you know, if they change too much, then.
Yeah, it gets hard. I mean, but it just kind of goes back to the foundation of RevOps, right? Where you're aligning their, you know, down to your, whatever your target market is, your segmentation, having clean data in your systems, it all kind of lines up to when you are making these comp plans and trying to sort out where does the quota get assigned and what's balanced. It just becomes a lot easier if you've done the work, you've done the hard work, right?
And there's then
to
mitigate as much as possible something feeling like they're being slighted somehow.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than companies who don't show you how the sausage is made, right? So I think obviously you can't show everything, but being as transparent as possible, I think is, you know, in me having been a salesperson a long time ago, I want to see that. Like, I want to know, well, why did I get this number and so-and-so got that number? So I think having that easy explanation, well, this is how your territory is comprised. Here's your capacity, et cetera, et cetera. So, so that's good. So are you on track to get comp plans aligned and set up before the end of the year?
I'm hoping, because last year we were kind of very late, you know, end of the year. And so I was like programming the compensation plan in January, knowing like first payouts, you know, end of January. So, but it's always fun and stressful, like setting everything up in the system, like, you know, weeks before it has to actually be, you know, paid.
Yeah.
So yes, I have started like building the structure out. I'm meeting with our CFO in a couple of weeks to like get his input, because again, it's the balance of, you know, the sales team wants this pretty thing over here, but, you know, is that what the company is really trying to go after? So hearing from all parties and kind of like being the mediator, negotiator between people to say, okay, we'll give you this if you give us.
Yeah. I think every person in RevOps listening can relate to that, because you do become this intermediary and this collaborator, this person that's kind of going back and forth between different departments. And sometimes even your own CRO, you need to kind of work between your CFO and your CRO and to achieve some sort of a balance. So having those, I think, people skills is like really, really important. So do you have a good story, whether it's commissions related or, planning or anything like that, that you don't have to use names or anything, but.
let me see, commission. When Sandy and I first started at Nimbus, there was like some like self-reporting going on with some of the teams for their commissions. And that, as a RevOps person, you really don't want ever to be in a situation where people self-report, because not that anyone's doing anything malicious, but they will always like kind of look to things for their benefit versus
unintentionally. It's just human nature
to say, whatever. That, right. And also if they're not data people and they're just doing things in a spreadsheet, it's very prone to like having errors.
Yeah.
So it's like, ideally you want that in a kind of a separate role. A lot of times it's RevOps or sometimes it's like finance doing commission things, just so you have an impartial person actually administering.
Yes, for sure. No, I mean, like you said, nobody's doing anything intentional. Humans make mistakes. When do you think is the best time to get a commission tool? So if you're a RevOps leader thinking about, you've got to do commissions this year, when's a good time to get a tool to do that for you?
Well, yes. Initially when Sandy and I started at Nimbus, it was really like ramping up everything. And so we were like building out the sales teams and simultaneously building out the tools, commissions, and all that stuff. So we were doing things manually at first, which again, every time you're doing things completely manually, a spreadsheet, it's error prone. You can easily make a formula mistake in Excel. Not that you can't in the commission system also, but so Excel is like every cell is a different formula. So it's easier. But separately from that, communicating to the reps with their commission plan and making sure Sally can't see Bob's commission and vice versa. When you're in Excel, you're always in fear. Like, okay, am I just showing them that tab? If you're emailing it, am I emailing the right attachment to the right person? And so with a commission system, since they typically have to log in to like look at their statements and everything, or some of them do email now, but it's a system like emailing Sandy's commission statement, or when she logs in, she can only see her commission statement. So it not only alleviates the pain of errors within formulas and the tools, but then also making sure only people can see the stuff they're allowed to see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing that right now. So you're saying this, we're in spreadsheets today, and there's nothing worse than you're sitting there and you have, do I have the right file in the email attached? Do I only have the one tab saved as a PDF? Am I sending it to the right person? And when I'm sharing my screen, am I hiding the right tab so only so-and-so sees one tab? That stresses me out. So, that's on my hot and fast agenda to get a commissions tool. So that way, I can save myself the heartache and time, because it probably takes me hours extra just because I'm concerned.
So like if you're just starting and you have a very small sales team, less than, even when it gets to 10, it can be probably like, if you have five people you're doing commission for, that's fine. But it's like, as soon as you start getting over 10, and if you're in the level of like having hundreds, then you definitely.
You can't be, startups. So,
Even startups, if you get to the threshold is probably like right before you hit 10, like 10 is like, it's easy to say, start getting confused.
Right.
And so even if you're a small startup company, Again, you may be doing stuff manually initially, but you need to start looking down of when you want. And you can start it takes, 3 or 4 months to evaluate all the different tools. So you may start doing the evaluation process sooner and then just like pick the target date of when you want to actually implement a commission tool.
Yeah, definitely setting up that foundation. If you're planning to hire 10 people the first year, 25 the second year or something, getting it. That's one of those things in, prior roles, I was like, oh, I don't need to get that tool until later. And that's the one thing that I personally would rather get sooner versus later.
Yeah, because it's like, any new tool takes a while to set up and everything. So having it set up and running well before you hire all those people, mm-hmm. then it's much easier to onboard them and like get them motivated that they'll get paid correctly, even if it takes them 3 or 4 months to actually close the deal where they're actually getting paid.
Right,
giving them visibility into the commission plan is good, even before they close something.
Oh yeah, because that's definitely the one email salespeople open is if it's about their commissions. You could say all day long, well, you don't have this contact in Salesforce, or you don't have this, I don't see the call recording in Gong, but if you send them an email about commissions, they're like stalking you, right?
That one actually you'll get opened within, half hour.
Yeah, exactly. And they're texting you, calling your cell, or where's my commission? So yeah, the fun. Well, good luck with getting the 2024 plans. We'll have to follow up and, see how that goes. If you're gonna be on time, but I think, hey, if you're doing it in January, that's good. So I know that's always a constant struggle if you're getting things done. But so tell me a little bit, as we kind of close here, what are some you've been in revenue operations in the kind of world of revenue operations and sales for some time. What are some tips or if you're just starting out in RevOps or you've been doing it a while, like what are some of your words of wisdom, if you will, that you'd like to share before we close?
I will say it kind of varies on the size of your RevOps teams. I've always been on smaller RevOps teams. And so it's always the biggest challenge for smaller RevOps teams is prioritization, mm-hmm. prioritization. It's like, again, you can work. There's so many things you can work on. You have stuff to keep the lights on that you have to like stay on top of. But there's always ways you can improve processes, better communication between teams. And so it's like really deciding what's the largest pain points that's going to impact revenue creation. You have to keep a lens of either revenue creation, retention, or efficiency improvements. So it's like, within those three kind of lenses, you have to like look at projects and say, what's going to tip the needle, the best for one of these, three buckets of retaining customers and revenue, generating new revenue, and then making things more efficient for the team. So there's less time and energy to do a particular task.
That's genius. I love it. So generating revenue, retaining your customers, and creating efficiencies. Those are some great tips for people to focus on and keep themselves out of the whirlwind and staying focused on the priorities. So,
I struggle every day.
Yeah, we all do.
Like, not get down and get caught up in the whirlwind and like say, okay, keep focus on the larger projects that you're working on and not get stuck in the day-to-day.
Yeah.
Which is a never-ending struggle.
Never-ending struggle. Well, this was great. Really appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in to RevOps Unboxed. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode.